ECHATRA Foundation presents the ECHATRA Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of ECHATRA AI. Hello and welcome back to the ECHATRA Dialogue. Today we're taking a deep dive into a really significant book, A Promised Land by Barack Obama.
Right, the first volume of his presidential memoirs.
Exactly. And he's, of course, the 44th president, the first African-American president. But this book, it goes way beyond just the historical facts. It's a very personal look at leadership, democracy, the whole thing.
Yeah, and what's really compelling, I think, is how it tackles that fundamental tension.
Yeah.
You know, the gap between the soaring ideals you have maybe on the campaign trail and then the messy day-to-day reality of actually governing.
Mm-hmm.
How do you bridge that? How do you keep hope alive when things get tough, when opposition is fierce? These are themes that are just incredibly relevant today, way beyond the Beltway.
Absolutely.
And our goal here is really to pull out those core insights, drawing from some excellent summaries of the memoir to give you the essence of his experience and reflections.
So by the end of this, you should have a clearer picture of, well, what it's really like to wield executive power, the personal toll it takes, and maybe even some practical takeaways for leadership, for resilience. Things you can actually use should be fascinating. Okay, so maybe we should start with the man himself. His background is pretty unique, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Born in Hawaii, you know, to a Kenyan father, an American mother from Kansas. He spent time in Indonesia as a kid.
Right.
And the book suggests this really shaped him. This early exposure to different cultures, different ways of seeing the world, it seems to have given him this instinct for finding common ground.
Yeah, you can see how that might play out later.
Definitely. And then you trace his path. Community organizer in Chicago, learning politics from the ground up, really, then Harvard Law Review president.
Which is no small thing.
Not at all. Sharpening that analytical mind. The book kind of paints this picture of someone who combines that grassroots empathy with some serious intellectual firepower. These were just resume points that were forging his whole approach.
And then comes the big leap running for president as a pretty junior senator. That hope and change message really caught fire.
It did, and A Promised Land digs into why. It wasn't just a slogan. It tapped into a real desire for something different, for unity. But wow, the timing. Winning the election in 2008 meant walking straight into a storm.
You mean the financial crisis.
Exactly. The book makes it incredibly clear. Even on election night, the euphoria was kind of tempered by the dawning reality of this massive economic meltdown. It wasn't just a challenge. It was the challenge that defined everything right from day one.
So no honeymoon period, basically.
Not really. He describes being plunged immediately into these incredibly high-stakes decisions. It was a pivot from, you know, the inspiring campaign rhetoric to the really stark, often unpopular choices needed just to stabilize things.
His Secret Service name was Renegade, which feels kind of apt for that time. The book talks about the stimulus package, the auto bailout, intense stuff.
Yeah, and what comes through is this pragmatic streak, a willingness to do what he felt was necessary, even if it wasn't ideologically neat or popular. He knew massive government intervention was needed, and he acted.
But dealing with Congress couldn't have been easy even then.
Oh, the book is very candid about that.
Yeah.
He came in hoping for more bipartisanship, but the financial crisis, the political polarization, it made cooperation incredibly difficult right from the start. You really sense that steep learning curve of what it means to be president in that environment.
Okay, so after tackling the economy, the next big battleground described is healthcare reform, right? The ACA.
Right, the good fight, as he frames it. And it really serves as a kind of case study for his whole governing philosophy.
Yes, sir.
Well, it shows the sheer complexity, the endless negotiations, the compromises you have to make, and crucially, the intense unified opposition he faced.
Yeah, the opposition was something else.
And what's interesting is Obama expresses this genuine sort of bewilderment in the book. He points out the ACA was actually based on a model developed by conservatives. Mitt Romney's plan in Massachusetts, yeah.
Exactly. So he felt the opposition wasn't really about the policy details as much as it was about, well, pure political strategy, just opposing him. And that says a lot about the polarization he was up against. It was about achieving progress, even if it was, as he says, messy and imperfect.
Then the focus shifts internationally, the world as it is, trying to repair America's image, dealing with world leaders.
Yeah, and he gives these really sharp little portraits. Putin, for example, seeing him as representing this kind of nostalgic, almost resentful form of power.
Contrasted with someone like Angela Merkel.
Who he saw as very pragmatic, analytical. And then there are the really tough calls, like escalating the war in Afghanistan. The book doesn't shy away from the difficulties.
So it's about balancing ideals with harsh realities on the global stage.
Precisely. It shows the need for strength, but also humility and a whole lot of strategic patience. You get a real sense of the immense weight of those global decisions, where there are rarely easy answers. So if we were to try and distill his core philosophy from the book, what would you say it is? What really drove him?
I think at its heart, it's a belief in democracy, warts and all, coupled with this idea of incrementalism.
Meaning slow change.
Sort of. Meaning that real, lasting change usually happens step by step through persistent effort within the system, even when that system is frustrating and, frankly, imperfect. He's constantly wrestling with that tension between the big vision, the promised land idea, and the practical, often grinding work of governance.
So success isn't perfection.
Not in his view, as presented here. It's about making things better, moving forward, even if it's just a little bit. And crucially, maintaining hope not as like blind optimism, but as a necessary fuel for that persistent effort. It's a kind of determined realism.
The book highlights some really key moments that shaped his path. Let's touch on three. First, that initial decision to even run for president.
Yeah, the audacious decision to run. He calls it a bet. And what makes it pivotal isn't just that he won, but the sheer conviction behind it. A first-term senator believing he could unite a very divided country. That established the theme of hope right from the start.
Okay, second big one. Hitting the ground running with the 2008 financial crisis.
Absolutely pivotal. Because it immediately forced his hand. It wasn't a choice. It was a reality he had to confront with massive, urgent decisions. Stabilizing banks, the stimulus.
High stakes.
Incredibly high stakes. The book conveys the pressure, the lack of easy options. It really forged his crisis management style, prioritizing stability, practical results, maybe over political comfort.
And the third one you flagged was the Osama bin Laden raid.
Right. This stands out because the book gives such a gripping, detailed account. You're in the room, hearing the debates, the weighing of risks.
The uncertainty.
Exactly. And then the immense burden of him making that final call. It's significant because, unlike so many other issues that involve compromise and slow progress, this felt like a moment of clear-cut success. It brought a sense of national unity, however brief, and really cemented his role as commander-in-chief.
Beyond the politics and policy, the book is quite personal. What does it tell us about the human side of power?
It's remarkably candid, actually. He talks openly about the strain on his marriage, on his relationship with his daughters, the psychological toll.
Michelle Obama seems central there.
Oh, absolutely. She comes across as this essential anchor, providing perspective and, frankly, keeping him grounded. He admits to moments of self-doubt, feeling the crushing weight of the job, and learning that basically no problem reaching his desk had a simple, clean solution.
Which is a dose of reality compared to how we sometimes imagine leadership.
Totally. It chips away at that sort of heroic myth and shows the vulnerability.
And then there's the issue of race. His election was historic, but the book doesn't suggest it solved everything, does it?
No, not at all. He's very clear-eyed about it. He acknowledges the symbolism, but also talks frankly about how race continued to shape policy debates, how it fueled some of the opposition, like the whole birther nonsense.
Right, the conspiracy theories about where he was born.
Exactly. So he doesn't paint a picture of a post-racial America. Instead, it's a country still very much grappling with its history, and his frustration with that is palpable alongside his commitment to keep pushing forward.
And this seems connected to his broader defense of democracy itself. He really emphasizes the importance of democratic norms, institutions.
He does. He worries about polarization, about misinformation, how it erodes trust. There's this great line somewhere in there like, the machinery of democracy is cranky and slow and sometimes broken, but it's the best we've got.
That captures it well.
It really does. It's a call to sort of cherish and protect those institutions, even when they're frustrating. And that loops back to his idea of hope. It's not passive. It's strategic. It's believing progress is possible despite the obstacles, because the alternative cynicism gets you nowhere. You need that hope to mobilize people.
All right. So if we had to boil this rich memoir down to three key takeaways for our listeners, what would they be?
Okay. Three things. First, maybe an emotional insight. Leadership, especially at that level, demands incredible personal resilience. The book really shows the emotional weight, the need for strong personal anchors, and the courage it takes to make tough, imperfect calls when the stakes are enormous.
Makes sense. What's the second?
Second, an intellectual insight. It's a powerful lesson in navigating that gap between ideals and reality. Real progress in complex systems, like a democracy, is usually slow, messy, incremental. It requires persistence, strategic compromise, and accepting that you won't please everyone.
Okay, resilience and pragmatism. And the third.
And third, a universal insight. It's about the power of hope, but understood correctly. Hope isn't just feeling good. It's an act of choice. It's a commitment to keep working, keep engaging, keep pushing for better, even when you face setbacks or deep cynicism. It's really a call to citizenship for all of us.
Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acontra Foundation.